This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Caps still with the puck. Chychrun, new stick and all. Lost the puck and it's stolen, and it's a breakaway attempt here for Buffalo. Quinn with the goal on a clear-cut breakaway. End-to-end pretty much for Quinn, and the Sabres score their sixth of the game with 14:08 to go in the third period.
Jack Quinn's goal yesterday, part of a three-point night for him. Sabres get an 8-5 win over the Washington Capitals.
Four-point night.
Yesterday?
Yeah, he's had 2 4-point nights.
I have had 3 points.
Then someone's telling me something wrong.
Having a goal, 2 assists.
Yeah, I'm looking at Joshua now.
I'm sorry, I must have miscounted.
1 + 2 = 3.
Listen, I didn't get into radio to do math.
That's fair, actually. I can't fault that one. I can't fault that one.
How many times did I think I was going to have to do math today?
More than once, by the way. That's we're adding to the total.
Great weekend for him, though. 6 total points in 2 games.
Yes.
2 goals against Philadelphia, 1 against Washington. Nice breakaway. That's one of my biggest issues with the Sabres. Every breakaway feels like it's going to save it.
It was such a convincing shot, too, though. Like, you see him rip the dang thing, and he's just like, yep, I scored.
Up to 14 goals this year, 34 points. Still not a great year, or even good year for him by any means. But we were talking in the break there. They've got 9 games left. If he, you know, gives you a 16-goal year with how bad it's been for him at times,
you suddenly look back and go, man, this season really went off the rails. Even Jack Quinn scored 16 goals.
And especially because it'll happen at this end of the year juncture where it's like, okay, he came around. They got there. This is good. One guy that's not coming around. The Sabres did play a back-to-back. They're going to do that a lot here to end the
year. They're going to be basically alternating these goalies every other game here, because they'll play Ottawa on Tuesday. They'll have 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where there's nothing going on games-wise. But then they are they're every other day at best, including back-to-back games over the weekend.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday home against the Lightning, and then Sunday home against the Bruins.
And it is very much, it's the first, then you got the break to the sixth, then 8th, 10th, 12th, 13th, 15th, 17th. It is every other day.
Yeah.
Except for then there's a Saturday, Sunday.
So, going back to this weekend, Saturday, they lost 7-4 to Philadelphia.
Both of those weekends, it's ridiculous that they're back-to-backs.
Yeah, well, they got to make up the games eventually.
But that's 4 straight weekends of back-to-backs.
Yeah, they got to make up these games eventually. It's brutal.
It's just weird.
So, Saturday, they lose 7-4 to Philadelphia. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, let them all in. we talked about it a lot last week of like, where do you go with him? What goaltending and special teams.
And I went
has
into
clearly the, sunk your season.
And I went into goaltenders are weird. They are fickle. It is sometimes I dare even say evil.
Sorry. No offense. There we go.
But because we have a pair of goalies in this building, in Josh and Owen. So
wait a minute. Don't put me in the same conversation as him. He's up here and I'm down here.
Hey, quality of goalies still means you're a goalie.
I guess that's fair.
You have the equipment.
All right.
You've got a little bit of evil in you, and that's okay. That's okay. It's also one of the hardest positions to predict. By the way, if you want an indicator of how the weekends are going to go, they're going to lose the Saturday game and win the Sunday games. And the opponents kind of make sense for it.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturday is Tampa Bay and Florida. The Sundays are Boston and then at Tampa Bay. And they've also lost the Saturday games for each of these last weekends and won the Sunday games. So if you do that to end the rest of the year, I'm just not talking about the Sabres with a game day going on because it's not working for me on my Sports Talk Saturdays.
It's working terribly for you.
Yeah.
I do want to say
But to go back to Luukkonen.
Yeah, real quick, I want to say this on him. We're at the end of March. Tomorrow's April 1st.
Correct.
He's let up 5-plus goals 4 times this month.
It's not been good. And ever since they came back from the Four Nations tournament, he has been bad. Mm-hmm. That is objectively the right way to say it. I know we've got a lot of UPL stands, a lot of people that love UPL. The personality that he brings to a locker room seems a little more on the wholesome angle. It's not been good enough this year.
Nope.
And especially after the tournament. There were times at the beginning of the year that UPL was winning you games, legitimately keeping you in games. Now, you look at why the Sabres have a bottom 10 penalty kill and go, goaltending is one of the biggest reasons why.
That's part of it.
Your best defender on the penalty kill has to be your goaltender. And oftentimes with the Sabres, it is not.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly when Luukkonen has been in shorthanded, it's been a disaster at times. They are not good enough defensively, so I know this is not a strictly UPL thing. I do think that they need to get rid of the defensive assistant in Marty Wilford. It's that players are stagnating in their development at this point. I'm done.
Yeah.
You need someone else in there because it's not whoever's in there right now is not working. I need my special teams changed up. That is something that has been said for years now.
Yeah, we're at 2 years though now where it's been actively harmful.
It's harmful. The special teams have sunken 2 of your seasons. As a matter of fact, when you got 1 point out of the playoffs a couple of years ago, your power play was a good reason as to why you were successful, but then it started a massive decline in the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change those tactics. You need to add another top 4 option. If I say the words Matias Samuelsson to someone on the street, I can't properly quote back the answers that get set.
It gets hostile.
Yeah, no, not just hostile. It would get us fined.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Right. Whether or not rightfully so with the word choices is one thing. It's that he has not been good enough and signed a bloated extension.
Mm-hmm.
And that extension now looks like a blight upon their cap. You cannot go back into this next season running it back with the same decor and expect for whoever is in net, be it Luukkonen, say Reimer comes back, or Levi takes that next step in his development. You cannot run back the same defensive core. Cannot. It is impossible to sell that, not just to the fans or the media. That's hard to sell back on your own team for the players in net. Has Rasmus Dahlin improved immensely as a defender? Yes. Is he the only one that I truly trust on a night-in, night-out basis? Also, yes. Owen Power does need to find a little bit more of his defensive game. He's always going to be a guy that makes great plays for you offensively. That is his style. It's always been since you drafted him from Michigan. He does need to find a little bit more of that defensive intelligence, and that's why I think that you need to shake up the coaching as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to add another player to the top 4. give Power someone that he can consistently skate with. And, hell, give Matias Samuelsson a break from the top 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, it's hurting him. He's not, he's shown he's not that guy. Maybe he plays better if you put him on the bottom pair. But you cannot go back in there next year with effectively the same defensive core. You can't. It's not feasible. And in goal, you cannot run back the same plan of just, hey, maybe UPL or Levi is the breakout again. You have to have a veteran goaltender in there. Because James Reimer has proven to you he can do at least just enough for you.
Would that be plan A, though? I think at this
plan
point...
Plan A is get a veteran goaltender in which one of you two kids figures this out.
Yeah.
In training camp, we'll deal with the ramifications if UPL's the odd man out of this. But we cannot have the same plan for a third year in a row.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is, like, is plan A then James Reimer, who has played well-ish?
Plan A is veteran goaltender. It is okay. Not exclusively James Reimer.
But is a veteran goaltender with one of the young guys, I think we are...
A veteran goaltender with starting experience, yes.
UPL at this point has given you half a season of good play.
And the thing is that if there is something to that, maybe it's the trade market. And maybe UPL is the player that goes off in return, and you get a goaltender back and a player or a pick because of UPL's youth.
Mm-hmm. Is that maybe where you pair him with your first-round pick this year?
You actually go get a guy?
Noah Ausland to make the trade?
No.
No, I'm not saying all three.
No, I'm saying...
Just no.
Give up any notions of trying to trade Noah Ausland, please.
Jack Quinn? Do you pair those guys together or the pick together?
If he ends on a heater, that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that UPL's value to get a veteran goaltender, a 1B sorts, is not a bad idea. Because at some point, it is not feasible to have these two goaltenders... These two younger goaltenders vying for the same thing, and kind of like the wild card two in the Eastern Conference, nobody seems to truly grab it.
No, the teams at the bottom of the playoff run in the East are terrible. All of them are. They're all bad.
But it's kind of, and I'm saying that it's not necessarily that these players are terrible. It's that. Neither of them has grabbed the situation either.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You thought it was going to be Levi first. At the end of the season, he actually played really well. He had good numbers for it. Then UPL takes over the crease, and he's the one that seems to claim it. But then he takes a step back. You cannot go into it with another year of this is the plan, because it should not be.
It shouldn't be. It can't be.
And you need a little bit more defensive support.
It's sinking your team. We've brought up the power play as well and the penalty kill. But you've brought up, too, like on the penalty kill, your goaltender has to be good.
Your goaltender has to be not just good, the best defender.
And it's just – we've all gone through the stats. I mean, even their goal differential is not bottom of the East. It's not. May not be, you know, one of the top three teams, but it's not bottom.
Ready? It's better than the team holding wild card two.
Montreal. -26 for them, -26 for the Sabres.
It's better than all but the Rangers and the Blue Jackets.
Yeah. In terms of goals scored, no one in the wild card race or below is better than you. Nobody.
As a matter of fact, you're better than one of the teams solely in a playoff position in the New Jersey Devils.
Mm-hmm.
It's so disgusting.
This thing too, we brought up the idea of how do you get the fan base engaged, Mitch Marner. Right, like that became the.
That's
big thing.
How you get the fan base engaged.
Yeah.
What you still absolutely cannot do is, you cannot run it back, because this season has shown that that's a bad idea.
That's a terrible idea. But I mean, like the Mitch Marner thing, where it's like, that'd be fun. But we're still having these same conversations. They're scoring a ton of goals. Mitch Marner all of a sudden isn't going to improve the defense. Like you brought up, he's not a defenseman. He's not. He's a forward. So all of a sudden it'd be, you sign Mitch Marner, you still have to make moves in the top four of your defensive pairing. You still need to give Owen Power a solid line mate. You still have to do that. You still have to do something in net. And that's where I was so gung-ho on that idea last week. I don't want to say I'm less so now. I don't know.
It's like the third biggest need for them.
And that's the
thing. It'd be flashy. It'd be fun. It's not dire.
It's not their biggest need because the first two needs are rework your top four and mm-hmm. add someone in there. And make sure you don't go into the next season with the same goaltender plan.
Yeah. It's a lot like the wide receiver conversation
and then
with the Bills.
Number three is, oh, by the way, it'd be nice if you added another top six forward.
Yeah. It's the wide receiver conversation with the Bills. If Luther Burden or Matthew Golden are available at 30, yeah, it'd be really cool. Be awesome. You're probably sitting there going, all right, Allen's back to 4,000 yards, likely, depending if those two hit.
That said,
but
in order to gain a top four defenseman,
mm-hmm.
you may have to pay the price of a top six forward, depending on quality of defenseman.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, then that's how you get Mitch Marner,
mm-hmm.
is you have to make room, quote unquote. And how do you make room? Well, getting a top four defenseman to help out your defensive core sure would help.
Yeah, sure would help. It would do it.
You'd
it
get a steady partner, say for Dahlin or Power, a person who can play every role, and that's not going to come cheap.
And that's what worries me.
That's where it's like, as a person who is a fan of J.J. Paterka in a Buffalo Sabres uniform, that kind of worries me. Of you probably have to get rid of a caliber like him in order to get a caliber of defenseman that I'm describing.
Well, I more mean that worries me in the sense of I just don't, based off the history of the Buffalo Sabres, I don't see them spending big in free agency. I don't see them being very active in trade deadlines. I just
and
don't see that.
If that's the case,
that.
Then you are looking mm-hmm. at the general manager still needs to be fired.
Yeah.
He has a chance to save himself. That's really the thing. This mm-hmm. is not about fire Kevin Adams. This is, you have an opportunity to save it. Not everything is garbage about this team, even though they're last place in the East. Not everything's terrible.
No.
Somehow, I can say that and not be lying to you or myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I do have to say is you do have to make moves this time and show people that you've learned your lesson from two off seasons ago where you did not strike when the iron was hot. You now need to, because the quality of the roster demands it, make these moves. The quality of the roster demands it, and you are in year six of your tenure.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I look at a team like Detroit, and if they go another season of just being mid-personified and miss the playoffs, Detroit's got to be having conversations about Steve Yzerman at
you
this point.
You don't believe in the Yzer plan?
What plan?
I know what plan. It's not Tampa.
It's not even it's not Tampa. You keep doing a bunch of, eh?
Kind of what it is.
And now the Sabres, it's the same thing. Of you're heading into year six, and what do we have to show for it? It is not about the playoff drought. It is about your tenure.
Yeah.
And you need to prove it. And yes, there are, of course, going to be questions of if Terry ever has, you know, the fortitude to actually make the move, pull the trigger, and get rid of him.
That's a big part of it for me.
That's not the issue here.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it is about Adams protecting what Adams' tenure can be. He can save it. There is something salvageable here. But you cannot sit on your hands one more time as you're fearing. If the fears become reality, the criticism gets louder.
Mm-hmm.
And it should. If he wants to save this and save his tenure as a general manager in hockey, instead of being just called the guy, fair or unfairly, instead of just being called the guy who was elevated because it's not the right thing. I do want to make sure I say it. But the notion becomes, it's just a yes man for Terry.
Right.
That's why he has this job. You have a chance to make sure that criticism never comes to light as the reason that you're truly there.
803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on the Sabres? They did split the weekend series. Both exciting games. Scored a lot. Gave up a lot of goals.
The last three, yeah. The last three have been kind of on drugs.
We did also, in a win, still get an Ovechkin goal. He is now four away from tying Wayne Gretzky, five from taking it. They have nine games to play.
That's a best of both worlds scenario.
Yes, it is.
And he just has to keep scoring at an every other game clip right now to keep it going.
Do you think he gets it?
No. I think that he doesn't.
You said no.
I think that he doesn't. And that is going to force an interesting decision of, he's not a guarantee to be an NHL player next year regardless.
I think he is. How many goals does he have this year?
He's got 37 goals this year.
No, I feel like at a certain point you're like,
I'm talking.
Wait, I'm
talking about his passion.
Oh.
I thought you were talking about the skill and the ability. I was going
to
say
he wants to go and play at home at some point before it's all done.
But with the way he's playing right now, he's got. I think in the KHL he'll have at least 5 more years left. Like the way he's playing right now.
Yes, but he also.
How long do you want to wait for that though?
Exactly.
Sure.
That's where the passion comes in.
Do I need to really come back in for another entire season just to play one or two games to break this record?
I think he does it. Especially also, think about how the season's going. If they were like a tank team.
Now, how controversial would it be if he doesn't get it and then does not return?
See, I already think the NHL's like kind of like sweating this out.
Yeah.
Like they need – this has been the storyline all year. You never really want these records to be broken
to start a
year.
Like I, no. What I'm saying, I'm not predicting to happen. But it is something that is worth speculating because, I mean – the guy wants to play at home, and you think at some point like it's going to end.
Yeah, eventually that comes calling.
I
think he gets it.
I don't know if he gets it this year.
I think he gets it. I think they are going to push hard. It's 5 goals to get it. They've got 9 games, and they're in a really good spot playoff-wise.
You also forget that hockey has a lot of randomness to it.
It does. It does. Don't disagree with that at all.
And you're on a strict timeline now. You need to score every other game. Slightly higher than that.
Slightly actually. Higher, yeah.
But you need to score in 5 of the next 9. Even for someone like Alex Ovechkin, that's not easy.
No, it's not. He's been on a very good pace up to this point. He has been.
It's not easy.
No.
Even for him.
I just, a part of me is like, they're going to force the issue. They are going to get this
they're
done.
Safely in a playoff spot, but also, they've lost 3 straight, and they want to make sure that they keep their stranglehold on first place. It is a stranglehold right now.
It is, yep.
They're 9 points clear of anyone else, but they're sliding.
But, well, that's the thing. In 9 games, you can absolutely lose that first place lead.
Yeah.
And they're already, I think, analytically, not the most loved team in terms of, like, oh, they're going to walk to the Eastern Conference Final.
Right.
They look like a team that you could struggle against a bad wild card team.
Matter of fact, say Ovechkin doesn't get the goals record here, gets injured in the playoffs, God forbid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's an interesting question to be had about the future of Alex Ovechkin and actually if he breaks the goal record.
I wonder, too.
Like I said, I'm talking out of the side of my face right now about this. I know it's not very realistic what I'm saying. It's just interesting to think about.
I also, we don't know the inner workings of the locker room. How much do you think a lot of these guys, like, it would deflate them if he doesn't get it going into the playoffs? No, of course, you want to win a cup. That's first. But this is a career achievement
but on the
to
way
pass
here,
the great one.
To and say that I was here for it.
Yes. I imagine some of these guys are like, I would love to assist.
On the final.
On the final one for a record that for a long time was perceived as unbreakable.
As one of the unbreakables, yeah.
I got to imagine they'd be a little deflating. I think that's got to be something, too, if you're the team of, like, we need to get that going into the playoffs. Like, it's actually good. It's this stretch run rather than him breaking it in February, where now we've got 2 months to kind of wrap this season up. Now it's like, we could do this on the final day of the regular season. You know, that'd be a nice bonus.
Against Pittsburgh.
Stop it!
Yeah, that's their final game. It's on the road, which is the shame in all
that's
of it.
That's better. It's so much better.
But I will say, I would have loved for him to be able to have broken this in front of fans, in front of Washington's faithful. But that would mean that he has to score 5 in the next 7 games.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
And the tickets kind of show it, too. Like, look on the secondary market right now for prices for these games, the 2 highest are the last home game against Columbus.
Of course.
Because it might be the last chance you see Ovechkin in the regular season in a Caps uniform.
Mm-hmm.
If he breaks it, for example, he's not going to come back, I don't think.
Okay.
Except for playoffs, obviously. Mm-hmm. But those are, you've got your playoff ticket, you're not giving it up to anyone.
Yeah, right.
And then the other one, which is 165, is in Pittsburgh.
That's so good.
Because you have a chance to legitimately see the last of Alex Ovechkin playing against Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
And B, if Gretzky watches on.
That's so good. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's take a call here before we take our next time out. Vince is with us. Vince, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good, thanks. Wanted to get your thoughts on this. We all know the Sabres need a shakeup. Just wondering if you think Adams would have the guts to do a move of this magnitude, Tage Thompson and Matthias Samuelsson for Travis Konecny and Sanheim.
I feel like Tage is too valuable. That's not.
Yeah, like, that's sort of where I like the gusto, Vince. I do, because I need anything that that raises the pulse for me with the Sabres. I think he's too valuable. In 2 years, yes, I think there would be something like this. I think you're still in the middle of Tage's prime, and I think there is a feeling probably within the organization because of what they've said of the solutions internal and stuff like that. I think they believe a right turn instead of a left. Twice.
They're also.
But this is also a bad year in the East, and they still can't do it. So,
yeah.
I would not trade Tage.
No.
I will say, though, in maybe a year, maybe two, it's not as crazy of a thought.
I will say, I do like the idea that he brings up of the sum of the trade is better than mm-hmm. the parts.
Yep.
But it's, you picked the wrong part. Tage Thompson is not a player
that they're. I do love Konecny, though.
Yeah. The thing is, the combination of Konecny and Sanheim, it's a good combo coming back.
Mm hmm.
And the sum is equal to the parts.
Yeah.
And yes, you're getting rid of Samuelsson, but you're also ready. This would have to be indicative of you sign. Like, I need the guarantee in blood that you have Mitch Marner ready to sign.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a single chance on that idea unless it's guaranteed in blood that Mitch Marner's a Buffalo Sabre.
That's simply too positive and aggressive of an offseason for a Buffalo Sabres team.
But I cannot fathom that a trade like that happens and you don't get a player like that, because I have already said mm-hmm. you need to add to the top six.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on the Sabres? I kind of like the idea of that trade. I wouldn't do it. I just like that it's being brought up.
It's a fun trade to make in like NHL 25.
Sure, yeah.
But if I actually saw it happen, I would soil my trousers out of frustration.
I don't even know what my reaction would be. Not good, but I don't totally know what my reaction would be. Also want to touch on, again, some of the stuff Sal Capaccio brought up in the first hour. I haven't been able to touch on it. I really do want to get to that franchise tag potentially point for James Cook if we do happen to get there. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here. We had Vince, you kind of took our entire break, and we just started, I don't want to start say bitching at each other, but we definitely went back and forth about the trade proposal that you had there. For those that might have missed it, it was a bold take. I like it from Vince, actually, because it's the sum of the parts. It's about who's coming back and not who's leaving, but a lot of people could turn it to who was leaving. Vince, a caller, he had said something about Tage Thompson and Matthias Samuelsson in a trade to Philly for Travis Konecny and Travis Sanheim. And I knew what he was doing. It was about Sanheim. A top six player mm-hmm. for Team Canada on the back end. I saw the vision.
I saw the vision.
Vince, I saw the vision. It's just that you added the wrong player.
Tage Thompson. That's the one where we're all going like, that's maybe a bit
much. That's a 40-goal scorer.
Yeah, I mentioned 2 years, different conversation. Maybe in a year, maybe different conversation. Yes. Now, no. But you started to mention there in the break as well. It's like, as you mentioned, wrong player, right idea. Jack Quinn gets on a heater. We've bringing up Norris potentially as like a, hey, you
the first
him.
Rounder the first is an idea. Because Philly is also probably going to be a team that's looking at reconstruction.
I'm happy to throw the first rounder to any trade. They should not draft any more. You have too many prospects. You need guys now.
Unless you're in the top three.
Correct.
Ready?
That's it.
Ready?
Anything outside the top three, you trade.
Hang on. I'm going to say something bold here. Even if they win a lottery pick to make it the third overall, trade it.
Because then it becomes more valuable.
I don't care.
It becomes more valuable.
No, ready? I don't care where you're picking. Trade it.
That's Josh. I'm sorry. This is more where I sit.
No,
I hate prospects.
I get
now.
That. I get
I feel
that.
In
this draft,
that.
In this draft, I'm okay with that. Next year, no way.
No,
next
ready?
Year, no way.
Who cares?
Right. No, I get it. I get it. But this draft, is like one of the only ones I'm okay with.
It's easier
with
to get you there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because this draft, even the top three is like, yeah, they might be top 15 in last year's draft.
Oh no.
Like the guy that was projected number one overall, Higgins, out of BU or BC, one of the two Boston colleges, he went from being like, this is the number one guy to, yeah, he might be like six.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. There's like Michael,
trade the pick.
Michael Meese is good. He's going to be probably number two, maybe number one.
Trade next year's first. I don't care.
There's guys up there that'll change your team, but next year you have Connor Bedard's cousin, Gavin McKenna, who put up 150 points in 50 games in the WHL.
Because why
not? If you're bad enough that you're threatening to pick that player though next year,
oh yeah,
we have bigger problems.
There's bigger problems. But focusing on this year, I'm all. Let's go to Vince's trade proposal here, right? Travis Konecny, Travis Sanheim. I'd love to add them. Also throw in a Cam York. I'd be okay with that too. Throw in Sabres pick, wherever it is. Hopefully it's top 10 because that's more appealing. Then you throw in Josh Norris, prospects, other picks. Just go in at it.
And this does become
dump
more,
off Samuelson as a captain.
Yeah, and this does become more attractive because they did just fire Torts.
Yes.
So there is a feeling of, okay, a rebuild might beyond the way. Retool. Maybe not full rebuild, but definitely they don't know
what Breer's vision might be, but he's also seeing a team that is threatening to be last in the Eastern Conference.
To counteract that too with Breer specifically, how much time does he have left?
Exactly. He may be more desperate than
Ooh.
Adams.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right.
Or he might be convincing management, I need a hard reset. I still have to clean up the mess that you left me with Chuck Fletcher.
That was quite a mess.
I miss him dearly.
Trading a first for Rasmus Ristolainen, baby. Let's go. And then signing him to a 5x5.
Hear me out. You trade that first round draft pick back to them as part of the deal.
There we go.
For Travis Sanheim. Hey, Isak Rosén, get ready to speak Philadelphia.
Get ready to speak
no,
Philadelphia.
No, not actually. I do like Rosén as a player.
But
I think it'd be
some
nice
of these
to keep
prospects,
him.
Though, they're going to have to start moving them out. You've got to get NHL players, and they
where,
have a need in defense.
Like I said, Vince, I saw the vision, and I like it. It was bold.
We'll keep this conversation
but
going
I saw the
throughout
vision.
The year. We'll keep this going throughout the offseason and into the playoffs and such. I did want to get
Vince,
to—
Vince, if you're hearing, I see the vision.
I did want to get to that James Cook stuff that Sal brought up because— I've kind of gotten to this point, I've written off the franchise tag for a Bean
right.
McDermott management. That duo has never used it. The last time the Bills have used the franchise tag was 2016. We're also at a point in the NFL, a lot of teams really do not use it. They get it done or they kind of battle it out. Cincinnati is the only team I've seen in recent years that seems to be in love with the idea of using it.
Yeah,
because
so
they don't like paying people.
I like to think of the franchise tag not just as a franchise tag and you play on it for the year. It's an extension to extension talks.
That's also right, because the last time
you
the Bills did
use it. You keep a player
on
the roster,
mm-hmm.
and then you use it to actually get the extension done.
The last time the Bills used it, 2016, Cordy Glenn, was exactly that. They end up signing a 5-year extension with him
or
later that offseason. He never plays a game under that tag.
Even what Carolina did.
Mm-hmm.
Say extension talks are not getting anywhere. And Carolina, with Josh Norman, cuts bait.
Yeah, we're not. You don't really see.
I
was going to say, outside of quarterbacks,
the franchise
they play
tag,
under the tag typically.
The franchise tag is generally meant to give you the protection of the player being on the roster no matter what for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
But you continue your extension talks anyway. Like
so,
what the Giants end up doing with Saquon Barkley, for example, mm-hmm. and it just it's what happened, speaking of quarterbacks, you know, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
They were threatening with the franchise tag the entire time on that one.
Mm-hmm. And really, for I'd argue, the good teams, it is just giving you a window.
It's giving you a window while giving you the safety of the player will be on the roster next year.
Yeah.
Let's make it longer.
Funny enough, Cordy Glenn, who was an offensive tackle, his tag was $13.7 million. That's right in the ballpark of what James Cook would be. I don't know that exactly, but it's around $13
million. Yes.
But I will tell you, and Sal brought up, that price tag is under what Cook wants.
Right.
But it's we would assume it's probably way closer to what the Bills want. Would they be a team if this goes to where it may be heading? Again, nothing confirmed there, but the fact that Bean went from, I don't know, could get done next week to a month later going, I don't know, could get done sometime this year, points to they're not close. I mean, I think Bean outright said they're not really close to an extension.
And if they're not close, that's what the franchise tag is for a year from now.
Yeah.
That's the other part. We have an entire season to play. Could he end up playing better or worse? Guess what? If it's better and you want to try to keep him around, we're going to need to slap that franchise tag if we want to keep him. And the discussions are, they're getting closer, but we're not done yet. This is how you go ahead and like you go to your college professor and say, I was sick. Here's the documentation that you need.
I was sick.
Then you go to the doctor and go, I need you to write me up a note.
It's just
I smashed my hip on a counter or something.
I like this conversation because Sal also brought up too, and I bring this point up a lot with callers and it's brought up with really everybody. They have not been in this position. This specific position at running back, they have never had to have a tough conversation of, like you brought up the value. Can we afford Cook? I think Sal's right. They want to bring back basically everybody. They are one of the leaders in draft, develop, resign.
Mm-hmm.
They showed it this year. But do they have the capital to do it? And also, does he just value himself out? Tremaine Edmonds did that. Gabe Davis did that.
And this is something that I brought up with Sal in the first hour. It's not about value to me more than it is about affordability.
Mm-hmm.
Which value has its place in the discussion. But do the Bills see James Cook's value rising to a point where they know they cannot work the books to keep him?
Yeah.
You have a certain price point that you're able to afford, and you might be knowing that Cook is going to ascend past that. Especially with his demands, starting where they are, and you say you play the entire season. Well, does he price himself out? Because it was interesting, Tremaine Edmonds last season here in Buffalo, he started looking a little bit more complete of a player. And I remember saying, I'm going to miss him when he's not here. Like, he's as good as gone,
because
he's actually earning himself an interesting payday, considering his age, going into free agency, and the fact that this is actually his best year as a Bill, his last year. So I kind of got very quickly into, he is not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that I do remember his
Terrell Bernard immediately really made me eat my words about saying I might miss Edmonds when he's gone. Talk about all sorts of insurance right there. But the same thing could happen here with Cook. You play the season out, you watch, and if he's playing as well as he did last year, for example, with the amount of big runs that he's breaking, the fact that he was well above his average in touchdowns.
Well, that's the thing, too. They started to use him 10 yards in, where before that was
it was Josh Allen.
That was it. He had, of course, the big plays as well, but his iconic play of this year is a fourth and goal play.
Fourth and goal with effectively your season on the line.
Yeah.
At that moment.
So you're in a tough situation.
And
you don't know where the running back market is going. The thing I look at too, if we're just going to use baseline $13 million a year, I don't know what the franchise tag is, but baseline $13 million, that would make him the fifth highest paid running back per year.
And the thing is that if this season has to play out, I would be ready to start saying, if he's playing well, I'm going to miss him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to play yourself out of Buffalo's price point, and that's fine. It's not something that, like, you spite a player for trying to maximize his contractual value at that point. It is, I know this team can't afford you the way that you're playing.
Also, fourth. I think I said fifth. It'd make him the fourth highest.
Yeah. And is James Cook playing in a level that deserves the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL? I don't know. If next season happens and he puts up another good year, though, you might look at it and be considering of that notion, but also realizing if he plays like that, his value goes up.
This is one of the contract negotiations I'd love to be a fly on the wall, because we talked about it last week with callers as well. Then you're all of a sudden getting into that, 44% offensive snap rate? And it's like, well, is that less wear and tear, or is the team telling them, we don't value as highly as you're saying? Again, and also, and this is a point, too, I've heard a few callers bring up. I don't know if necessarily any of us have brought up enough, but the $15 million is just a starting point. And it's also the last number we've heard.
Yes. We have not heard anything different.
So, and that's where we're all going. There's a likelihood that that's just the starting number for Cook, that ultimately it's like we're going to go a little high so that we end, well, maybe the fifth highest paid running back, highest paid running back, around $13 million.
And the thing is now for the Bills, do you have the roster construction capable of having one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league and one of the highest paid running backs?
Go back to that Joe Shane clip, which, you know, has been infamous for him, but I think ultimately was kind of right. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying a quarterback a ton of money to hand off to a running back who's making a ton of money.
Yeah. And ultimately, that is what the league looks at running backs as.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it is what it is nowadays.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Charlie, you're on air. We do got to be a little quick, though.
All right, guys. I just wanted to talk to your audience. I remember when Daryl LaMonica was with the Bills before he went to the Raiders. And one of the things, and I've been with the Bills since 1962, the Bills just don't want to pay the money to win a Super Bowl. We've got one of the top, very top runners. We're scribbling over a couple $1 million because we can't afford it. We'll never win a Super Bowl with this kind of attitude. You got to spend the money. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Pay this man his contract. He's produced for two great years. He's got a whole career in front of us. And I want to win the Super Bowl. We can't win it being cheap. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
They're not being cheap.
So they didn't give out any extensions in Charlie's eyes. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Whatever.
They didn't spend
a ton of money for Von Miller, which if it worked, no one would complain.
Yeah.
I get
they're
it.
Not, they're not cheap at all.
No, Charlie's right. No, they didn't give out any extensions. They're cheap. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Really?
That was interesting.
And he didn't have two great years. They were good years.
And ready?
They were solid.
Ready? Even if they were great years, if you can't afford a player, you can't afford a player. You think that Kansas City is complaining about the fact that players ending on other teams because of the Super Bowl tax, quote unquote? If you can't afford a player, sometimes that's just the nature of the beast. And, they have been spending their money. Like I said, four of the five players that are up for extension that you would have looked at to be re-signed have re-signed on team-friendly deals, by the way. So if you want to talk about being cheap, the players technically have been. So
yeah, like if you really want to complain about that, like, the players should have taken more money.
Yeah,
then.
The players are actually.
Sal made a good point. Christian Benford's not the 13th best cornerback in the league. I don't think anyone would say he's that low.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
They're not the Cincinnati Bengals.
Thanks
where,
for the call.
Where you're constantly like, oh, cool, all of our great talent's just going
to
leave.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Yeah. No.
Well, that's it's not how I want to end. Now I'm frustrated.
It's not about being cheap, and let me try to at least make you feel better. It is still an ongoing negotiation. Like you said, Zach, we don't know what is going on with talks. And as a matter of fact, there's an entire season to play out before things actually get critical in the status of James Cook in the first place. It's okay to let things ride. Do we have to speculate? Yes, I kind of do have. I hate this part of the job where we do have to speculate. But at the same time, we know this. He is a Buffalo Bill next year. Maximize that enjoyment, because if he does end up pricing himself out of the Bills' future plans, that means that this will have been a good season.
Yeah.
And whatever you do from there, try to take advantage of it. Because as Sal said at the start of the show, they have an opportunity, and they know it, in the next 5 years, win the damn thing.
Yep. That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll touch base with Sal again as voting goes down, namely on stuff like the tush push. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres split their weekend. And Sabres Live will have you covered on that. This is WGR.